Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Supernatural love. And just like you lavishly pour it out on us, we pour it out on those we encounter. Help us to love the unlovely. As we close this out, just take a minute between you and God.
My life, every breath, bring you glory, Lord.
I just feel like some kind of response is necessary from each of us before the Lord. And for you, you might know what that is, but it may just be, Lord, here's my life, and whatever you can do with it, go ahead and do it. Everyone, thanks for coming out. Everybody enjoyed the surprise snow last week.
Yes.
I was so grateful to not have to shovel anywhere. That said,
We don't do the shoveling here, but if anyone is so inclined, apparently the plow truck doesn't fit under the doodad.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody maybe in the younger sphere of life, there's a shovel in the closet, come on by. Don't use our shovel. Anyway, so I'm just going to give a couple quick announcements, and then I want to share just something real briefly. It's not my turn to preach today, so I'm not going to preach, I hope. But real quick, just to remind you guys that there's a mic in the room right here above me. It's not putting anything out, but it's recording the podcast, so we're going to, you know, we put that on the internet. So if you're in the front few rows and you start talking about Chinese food or whatever, it's on the podcast. So if you're having an argument with your spouse, do it in the back rows. That's fine. And then also, you know, we're real careful. Like, if you're up here saying stuff after the service, we do cut all that off. We don't listen to that. I don't want to hear what you're saying. So just be reminded. And occasionally, right where Dawn is sitting, there's a camera. Same deal. If you're next to the camera and you're talking, and we put that on our YouTube channel, then whatever you were saying is on there. So it's totally cool. A couple things in the works. I don't have a solid announcement to give you, but the online small group, now that we're in the new year, we're going to start putting some spin on that and get you guys some information about how you can log on to that and be part of that Bible study. And then we had so much fun 2 weeks ago playing Family Feud. At least the women did. The men, not so much. We're going to do like a game night on a Saturday night or a Friday night. Now, I just need you guys to give me this commitment, because in the past, when we did a Saturday night event, nobody came Sunday morning. Right? So playing games is fun and awesome, and we get to know each other better. But if we're doing a Saturday night activity, it doesn't count as church. Please come on Sunday, too. I got this really awesome game. I won't tell you about it now. My 10-year-old bought it, and it turned out to be awesome. So anyway, just a couple quick reflections about 2020, now that we're moving into 2021. Just to remind you guys, because we're seeing a lot more of, I mean, a lot of us are disappointed about what's happening in the world around us. A lot of us have opinions about it. A lot of us feel like what's going on. And I want to remind you, we went into this pandemic in March, and we said that Isaac planted in a famine and he reaped a harvest. And we went into this pandemic with a bunch of debt, a building that nobody liked, and we were trying to revive a vision that a lot of people didn't want to be on board with. And we came out of the pandemic, and it wasn't me and it wasn't the leader team, it was God, in a great space, in a new location, no debt, you know, and God did this, and he did it. And just to remind you guys, and for those of you that don't know, we kept just getting $2,000 from places. You know, another church just was like, we need to give you $2,000 to sow into what you're doing. Pico, we paid a deposit with them on the old space, and they owed us $2,000. One of my wife's clients came in and said, my friend needs to tithe. And can you take that? Will your church take that? And she's like, sure. And it was $2,000. So it just kept coming like that. And, you know, that's what God did. And so now the same eyes. We need to have the same eyes that when we look at what's happening now, sure, I think that we're in for some things that'll be challenging. Sure, I think that there's going to be some things going on that don't necessarily support what Christians want to see happen in the nation. But God is still able to move. And I want to encourage you to begin to focus your prayers on the people that are in those seats and see God move in their lives. You know, we're all believing for something amazing to happen in our nation. And we still are, no matter what we see. So you guys know 2020 was a year of shaking. And I just want to, you know, equate that to an earthquake. Does anybody know what you're supposed to do in an earthquake?
Stand in the doorway.
Sometimes they tell you also to go outside where nothing can fall on you. But you know, like if there's an earthquake right now, there's not really enough doorways, especially if we're going to maintain 6 feet distance. And so let's say we head outside. There's an earthquake right now. We headed outside. We went outside. Went outside. So is outside still shaking?
Yeah.
So it doesn't stop shaking. And so 2020 was a year where a lot of things were shaken. You know, we lost faith in a lot of systems, an economic system, a political system, an election system. Some of you lost faith in the post office. Some of you lost faith in the toilet paper distribution system. distribution. Thank you. Thank you. We lost faith in all these systems, you know, and it's really interesting because we saw even close down sports. So we lost faith in our sports system. You guys don't think that's important. Some people do. We definitely lost faith in the media system. You know, and so these systems, they failed us that we were trusting. You know, and I just want to share a verse with you. There's a lot in this verse, and like I said, I'm not going to preach today, but it's Hebrews 12, 26 to 29. And it says, "At that time, his voice shook the earth," talking about God. "But now he has promised, once more I will shake, and not only the earth, but also the heavens." And the words "once more," this isn't me preaching, this is actually in the Bible, and the words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that's really what I want to encourage you guys with this today. When you see the system shaking, the system that you want to put trust in, to turn your eyes towards the kingdom system that cannot be shaken. You know, and we don't really give offering pep talks. We don't pass the offering plate. There's an offering basket in the back. And we're going to pray over that in a second. But one of the coolest things that I'm finding in this season, even out of a place where there's a lot of lack around me and there's a lot of things going on, I'm able to take something from an earthly system and put it into a kingdom system. You know, and that's been really awesome to see how God has multiplied what's being sown here throughout the pandemic, as opposed to the opposite. When I told you guys going into this, I had a call from the landlord, and he was basically like, "Yeah, you got to pay me." And I was like, the new landlord, doesn't matter, but we don't have that problem. He prays for us. And I was like, "Well, you know, I'll pay you everything I can." And it was like, it wasn't good enough for me to tell him that. So, you know, we ended up moving, God moved us. But what I'm trying to say is basically, you know, as God's moving, we're taking these systems that aren't working and we're putting them into a kingdom system. And that's the thing that's going to work. Y'all following me? I should stop before I confuse it anymore. So if you brought something to give, just hold it in your hand. We're going to pray over it. So Father, right now, we thank you for your provision. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom to how to use the funds that come into this place to change the community around us. Lord, we thank you for the giver, and we pray that you would multiply unto them everything that they need. Lord, that you would turn our hearts so that we can move things from earthly systems into kingdom systems. Lord, that we would have dreams and visions and ideas that take earthly systems that are shaken and put them into kingdom systems. And Lord, we pray for our leaders over this nation. We pray that you would get a hold of their hearts, that they would be led by you and not even know it. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're able to do. We believe that you can move mightily in this land, especially here with us and in the community around us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to invite Dave up.
So most of you know me, and I am a very intense person who thinks that I have to do things all the time to make things better, to fix things. Most of my self-value in the past has been based on what I can do. I come from a very competitive family, and a family where if you didn't come in first place, then you shouldn't have bothered trying. So recently, with some of the teachings that Matt's been giving and what the Lord's been doing in my heart, I've really begun to understand sonship, daughtership. So it's just so cool. I can go out, and right now I'm laid off. I've been waiting for something to happen with my job. And, you know, but when the tithing time comes, it's like, "God, you know, I'd love to give to you." But what I've come to understand is none of that really is what's important. What's important is the relationship. And I've been able to enjoy, for me, life, a fun thing in life is mushing and doing with my dogs. That might be something completely different for you. But a guilt-free, it's okay to just enjoy life and be his, and wait and see what he wants to do day by day with you. You don't have to have it all planned out. You don't have to have everything taken care of and you don't have to take charge of it. So I wanted to share that with everybody and just encourage you to be okay just to be. You don't have to do anything else, right, Matt? You just have to be.
So good morning. Good morning. I would be sharing upside down and backwards if I did that. So here we are. This is the first Sunday that we're gathering together in 2021. And I was originally set to share last week. And I didn't, though, just assume that the message would remain the same. Throughout the week, I listened and I did some amending and some changing to bring it. I think the bulk of the message is still the same that God would have me share, but He spoke throughout the week to me as well. And you know, so 2020 is over, as Matt had talked about it, and you know, in some ways, because of all the things that the year brought us, we might say it's finally over. But on the other hand, as with every year, there's times that it seems like it just flew by. You know, and I guess maybe they say that happens. The older we get, the faster time goes. Can I get an amen? I can certainly say that I affirm that. In fact, at work, a lot of times I work some 12-hour days. And so a lot of times at work, I say, I don't know how the year goes by so fast when the days are so darn long. And I think Matt can probably understand that too. He had a season where he worked some pretty long days. So 2020 was both long and fast. And it was both terrible and tremendous. So I wanted to start this year. If you remember back a few months ago, we spent a good bit of time focusing on building and foundations. Remember the whole theme of mind renovation, life transformation. Our minds are renewed and transformed by the Word of God. And I thought as we begin this year, both individually and corporately, it would be good to start again on a sure foundation. And now even more, in light of what's happened in the last week, I think that's vital to us. It's important that anything that's built be built on a solid and true foundation. That's why there's regulations for structures and buildings. And I mean, would you think it's safe to drive on a bridge that wasn't set on a good foundation? And then neither should we want to build on anything but the truth. In Matthew 7:24-25, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we can probably be assured that there's going to be some more storms come in 2021. But we want to be built and founded on a true and strong foundation so that we can stand and not fall. And since it's the beginning of the year, I thought we'd begin at the beginning. In Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day." The words "formless" and "void" that are in there can be translated as chaos or confusion or lack of order. And, you know, if we look at the world systems and the world explanations, we can see that right away from the very beginning, the theories and speculations of human science and ideology don't build on the truth. They speculate that the world, that all the planets and the stars, The entire universe was created by some sort of explosion. Now think about that. Have you ever seen the results of an explosion? Just a few weeks ago at Christmas time in Nashville, there was an explosion. If you saw the pictures, explosions don't create order. They don't build. They tear down, they destroy, and they cause chaos. And, you know, even science itself recognizes that the natural order of things is to go from a structure to break down, to degrade, from order to randomness. One of the foundational principles of thermodynamics is the law of entropy, which states just that the natural order of things is for them to degrade, to break down. God, because he's omnipotent, spoke to the chaos and confusion and created order. The fact that there's a well-designed, intricately balanced universe establishes that there was and is a designer and a creator rather than a series of accidents. God spoke and the Spirit responded with power of creation. It's vital, it's important that we build on that truth. But we also need to know and to recognize and understand that a lot of the people in the world aren't going to acknowledge that truth. And I think sometimes as we deal with people, as we interact with people, we sometimes are reluctant to defend our belief in creation because we fear that we'll be viewed as foolish to the world. But if we really look at the foolishness of the human theories and the speculation, we'll see that in reality, the truth of God's word measures up more accurately or more consistently with science than much of that human theory and speculation. Genesis continues and says, "Then God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and the fruits trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. God saw that it was good, and there was evening and morning, a third day. Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens and separate the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth.' And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also, and God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth and to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Then God said, 'Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth. In the open expanse of the heavens, God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed, and after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. So God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And again, we see that those who build on these human theories and speculation, they would have us believe that the sun, the moon, and the stars all happen by random acts or by random accidents. That it's a fortunate coincidence that the earth positioned itself exactly the right distance from the sun, because a little bit closer and it would be so hot that it couldn't sustain life, and just a little bit farther away and it would be too cold. So how wonderful and fortunate is it that in the midst of the chaos of this explosive cosmic event, the earth and the sun positioned themselves perfectly to sustain all life as we know it. What a coincidence. And then also with the animals. The human theory and speculation would have us believe that what we see and what we know began as one common thing. a single cell organism. And that randomly and inexplicably, somehow, this single cell organism decided to get together with others. And it resulted in the 9 to 10 million species that we know today. And yet, one of the many problems with the theory of evolution is that there's really no evidence that it ever occurred to the scale that would be necessary to arrive where we are. And there's certainly no evidence that it's continuing today. There's evidence of adaptation, that things that are within a species tend to adapt to their environment. They tend to adjust and change so that they can thrive and strive and get better at living in the environment that they're in. But that's a far cry from what evolution says, where one species changes into something else. Now, science breaks it all down. We have the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. And so they break it down: kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. For evolution to be true, the changes would have had to happen at the phylum and the class level. Not just species, not just like one kind of dog changing into another kind of dog. But so in the world today, we see that there's no apes becoming human, and there's no reptiles becoming birds, and there's no fish that are turning into reptiles or mammals, and there's no invertebrates that are growing spines. Instead, each one was uniquely created after its kind. You know, in nature, rarely do animals crossbreed even within their species, and never would reptiles, fish, birds, or mammals mix with each other. As Genesis says, each one was created and reproduces after its kind. You know, it's true that we share about 98.7% of the DNA with chimpanzees. But we also share about 50% of the DNA with fruit flies and with bananas. Now, that's a result of a common creator, not a common ancestor. God used the same materials to create us all. Finally, the text says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day." It's vital that we recognize and believe that we, and that people as a whole, were created in the image and likeness of God. We didn't evolve to a point where we're higher than the animals. We were created in God's image, and he gave us dominion over everything that moves on the earth. Only with God can chaos be turned to order. Apart from God, what's orderly will degrade to disorder, chaos, and confusion. And the farther our society and our culture moves from God, the more evident that becomes. When we fail to teach our children that they're created in the image and likeness of God, is it any wonder that we see people begin to act more like animals? Human ideology is exploding like a bomb, wreaking havoc and causing chaos in our culture and society. We were created in the image of light and likeness of God. But what does that mean for us in 2021? Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, "God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. So as we begin this year building on the truth of God's word, may we also recognize that God will use all the things that happened, all the things that happened in 2020, and all the things that are going to happen this year, both the good things and the bad things, the hard things. He'll use them all for our good if we will respond to him in love. Then we will become conformed to the image of Christ. We'll be restored to the image and likeness of God, just as he created. You know, people sometimes say, you may have heard it, that this life is supposed to be training for reigning. That the things that we learn in this life are so that we can reign with Christ at his return. And there's some truth to that, but we also need to remember that Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our dominion and our reigning isn't to wait for eternity. It's also to be here and now. It was already established in creation. We're to walk in the dominion and the authority of Christ here and now. In John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing." When we're perfected in the image of Christ because of the things that we endure, we lack nothing, and nothing will be impossible for us. And you know, I know that really none of what I shared today is revelatory to us, but it's vital that we stay built and based in upon the foundation of God's word and truth. When we look around, at least for me, it's hard to understand how people have become so deceived. How we've come to the point where truly evil is called good and good is called evil. Where darkness is substituted for light. But you have to remember that when you build on a foundation that's not true, if you're off by just a little bit at the beginning, the farther that you get out, the farther away you are from where you should be. In Genesis 3, 1 through 19, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God really said, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat or touch it, or you will die.'" That's really not what God said, but that's for another time. She added to his words. "The serpent said to the woman, 'You certainly will not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, and with her he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves waist coverings. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is it that you have done?' She said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So we kind of know the rest of the story. And then God says to Adam, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. With hard labor you shall eat from it all the days of your life. For those who've believed the lie that there is no God, that Genesis 1 didn't really happen, that there's no God and he didn't create heaven and earth, for those who don't believe that we're created in the image of God, they can also easily be deceived to believing that they're like God and that there's no sin or there's no devil. Rather than accepting that there's consequences for the sin, they tend to blame God for guilt. God didn't condemn Adam and Eve, and he doesn't condemn us today. Instead, he proclaimed and he proclaims his plan to redeem and restore. It's important, though, that for us, as we want to look outside to our community and to our families and our workplaces and our neighborhoods, we need to acknowledge that those who don't believe in sin are not going to see a need for a Savior. We're never going to convince somebody that doesn't believe in God that they need to be redeemed by Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. So for ourselves, it's vital that we build on this foundation of truth so we can stand in whatever comes our way. With others, we can't convince them of the truth by our words or our wisdom, our eloquent speech, but we can live as those who don't compromise. Matthew 5:14 and 16, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. We need to stand on and for the truth without compromise. We need to not fear being called foolish by people, because 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. In Matthew 24:4, Jesus has a warning for the last days. I don't know how close we are to that. The Bible says we don't know when that day will come, and we shouldn't really worry about it. But his warning, it says, see to it that no one misleads you. And the only way we can be certain that we won't be misled is to know the truth. Genesis 3 talked about the temptation of Adam and Eve and the fall into original sin. In Matthew 3, it speaks about the temptation of Jesus. How Jesus overcame the temptation by using the Word of God. But Jesus not only knew the Word, he was the Word made flesh. And in addition to that, Jesus also knew who he was. Because just prior to this time of temptation in the wilderness, he had been baptized. And when he was baptized and came up out of the water, God spoke out of the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We need to know the Word of God, but we also need to know who we are, that we're God's beloved children, created in his image and likeness. So I exhort us all, and I encourage us all, as we begin our journey through 2021, to commit to knowing the truth of God's Word. And so, in doing that, to know Him more each day. More than ever, we need to be established and guided by truth. We need mind renovation for life transformation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, I pray that each one who is here and each one who hears, that they would know and they would believe that they're your beloved child, created in your image and likeness. This year, Lord God, we want to build higher and wider. We want to do what you've called and created us to do. May we always and only build on the sure foundation of your word. On what you've said and on what you're saying. May we know your word, but may we also know your voice. If we would build higher and wider, may we dig deeper. If we would walk and work with you, may we never be ashamed to stand for you. May this year truly be a year when we see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So go out as his beloved children, created in his image and likeness. Be blessed.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeds.